Welcome back to Radio Entrepreneurs. My name is Alexander Stablowski. I'm the executive producer here at the radio station. And joining me, next to me, is our Suites reporter, Gary Goldman. Gary, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Alex. Thanks so much for having me. This is great, and we're going to be talking to a very interesting guest today, Evan. We had a chance to chat earlier, and he's got a great story to tell that I'm sure everybody wants to hear about his company and what they're doing and how the company is really evolving. It's just a wonderful story.
Well, I'm excited to learn. And so we do have Evan and Ironberg.
Yeah.
From Xperi Corp. Evan, how are you doing today?
I'm doing very well, Alex. Thanks for having me on the show.
So tell us, what is Xperi Corp?
So at Xperi, we're solving essentially is the number one problem for behavioral and clinical researchers, and that's subject recruitment. So finding people who are qualified to come in for a research study, actually getting them to come in, and for longitudinal studies, getting them to come in for a long period of time. So the way we're approaching this problem is through sort of an automated software. Today it's been a lot of sort of redundant, sort of very traditional marketing methods to bring people in. And the main problem is that's just very difficult for people to find research studies. So we're a web and mobile software platform where people can create a profile and easily find research studies from anything from, you know, clinical trials testing new medical advances to very basic academic studies to focus groups testing new consumer products.
So you're a library in the medical field.
Something like that, yeah.
So can you give us like an example of what a typical study would be and how the whole process worked?
Yeah, so there's a huge range, and that's actually one of the main things that makes us different, is that we don't really focus in on one very specific type of research study. So looking in the clinical trial field, there can be anything from, you know, testing out a new acne face cream to, you know, could be a new surgical method for some new heart disease. It can be, you know, new drugs for ALS. So there's a huge range in clinical trials. Essentially, every medical treatment that has to go through FDA testing needs to essentially be proven that it's effective and that it works and that the side effects are very minimal.
So let's just talk about the heart situation. I just went through a heart event recently. So say I wanted to sign up for it. What would be involved in that?
So that's a huge range. But in terms of at least just finding the trial, good luck. Because mm-hmm. right now, the sort of the best database is clinicaltrials.gov, which is the U.S. government's mm-hmm. Database of all the clinical trials that are currently undergoing recruitment. And you pretty much have to be a doctor to go through it. So you can, you know, type in a condition and search that way. But beyond that, going through the eligibility requirements to even decide if you think that you might be eligible for something is extremely difficult. Typically requires several doctor consultations, and then the ball's entirely in your court to find out if there's a hospital near you that's recruiting, to call the researchers, to try to set stuff up, to see if you're going to qualify. It's a massive headache, and that's one of the main reasons that recruitment's needed so much. So if mm-hmm. you look at clinical trials, about 86% are falling behind schedule because of delays in subject recruitment. The typical timelines for recruitment are actually doubling what the estimates should be. And so if you look at it, it's really because it is so hard to find, because there's actually not a lack of interest. NIH found about 82% of general public is interested in trials. And if you look even at sort of rare patient populations where it's really difficult to recruit. So for example, at cancer, about 85% of cancer patients were unable to find a trial that they qualified for, but 75% of those were really, really interested. So there's this huge mismatch of people wanting to get involved, but they can't. And the researchers very desperately needing people to get involved.
So that's where you come into the picture.
That's precisely correct, yeah.
What is your background? How did you get involved in this?
Sure. So my background is actually in academia, in computational neuroscience. So I started my undergrad at UC Berkeley in cognitive science and computational modeling. I did work on computer models of learning and memory of the brain. And then I came to MIT for my PhD in computational neuroscience, where I've been studying human vision and studying face recognition. And so my research for my dissertation is essentially studying the human brain to see how we recognize faces, because we really are extremely good at it, and it's a very difficult task, and applying sort of those algorithms and those shortcuts that the human brain uses, applying those to computer vision to improve computer vision. Face recognition is also just computer vision in general. But doing that, a lot of the research studies to gather the data to sort of learn about the brain had to recruit participants to come in for a brain scan. You know, very, very simple study, an hour long, put you in a nice little chair with a little thing on top of your head, and it's pretty fun study.
Had it multiple times, too many concussions, so you don't want to study my brain.
Is there anything left at this point, Alex?
I don't know. We'll go to Evan. We'll see.
But so even for that kind of study where we're just looking for healthy participants for a very non-invasive, pretty fun study, you know, it took months and months to recruit for, and we were just looking for about 20 people. And the way that we recruited is just through flyers, you know, post them around the MIT campus, occasionally try using mailing lists. Those don't really work too well. And so that's when my co-founder, Sol Chen, who we've been collaborating on research for about the past 5 years, she sort of was a bit astonished that this is how things were done. She comes from a very math and computer heavy background and hadn't really worked with the sort of experimental management of it before. And so when she saw sort of the inefficiencies in recruitment, she thought, well, okay, there has to be a better way. You know, we've got like Uber, we've got Airbnb, there's some sort of two-sided marketplace would really solve this really well. And was very surprised to see that there really was no solution.
So that's what you're doing.
That's exactly what
you're building, a database that's going to be able to provide that.
There is an app for everything.
Now, when you're doing this, we spoke earlier about this. What about the personnel that's involved in it and the whole building of your organization to make it a successful business? Because you obviously need somebody with very strong... you know, computer and organizational background. Are you able to get those kind of people? And how are you growing your business? What is your vision for this year and next year and the year following?
Sure, yeah. So right now, we're very sort of focused on software engineering because this is entirely a software platform. And because we're working with private health information, so personal medical data, we have to be fully HIPAA compliant, high trust, high tech compliant, sort of have the full range of data security and simultaneously make everything as seamless and easy to use as possible because we're working with the general public as well as its researchers because of that two-sided marketplace. So, having a lot of software engineers from iOS app development to front-end, back-end, since it's a web platform, to data security, DevOps engineers. So really building out that full team is really important to us. And we've been having a really great time finding top talent. Obviously, it takes a long time to wade through all the applications, go through a lot of interviews. But, you know, myself and my co-founder have really technical backgrounds, so we're able to find a few really great people, and then they help us interview more and sort of grow the team out that way. Moving forward, so we're currently doing beta testing with the software we've developed right now, but once we move into launch, a very, very big key component to our success is a very successful marketing campaign because, as you mentioned, we really have to have a very large database of participants to make this a great success. And so it's a bit tricky because you need to have someone who has sort of like a growth hacker almost because we're such an early stage. We're just trying to grow as fast as possible, so we want to use every sort of digital advertising that we can and optimize as quickly as possible. But at the same time, when you're working, you know, this is less of an issue when you're working with academic studies or focus groups. When you're working on the clinical trials, you really have to be, you have to sort of be able to network and work with different patient organizations because you're looking for people with rare conditions. Could be epilepsy, ALS, you know, AIDS, Alzheimer's. And so that's where it gets a bit difficult because now you're looking for someone who has a very sort of tech-oriented marketing background who's very good at optimization, but now they also have to have at least a foot in sort of the health or life sciences sector. Mm-hmm. Similarly, it goes for sales when we're approaching researchers.
You got to stay focused. You can't be doing both. Bandwidth just goes a long way. What are some of the challenges other than the bandwidth part of this that you see with what you're doing right now? What are the biggest challenges that you will come across?
Yeah, so, you know, really the biggest challenge is that one of building the database. That's really where all the key success lies. Because it's such a huge problem for researchers recruiting participants, I mean, you just wouldn't believe everything else, you know, the complexity of running a research study, that all falls second to recruiting participants for them. So the demand there is enormous. And of course, when you're working with, you know, large corporations, there is a very long, complex sales cycle, but, you know, overall, they're very happy to have a solution. The participants, right now, their needs aren't being met. There's nothing like this on the market. So it's sort of a bit of educating them, a bit of informing them about, you know, now it is easier to find research studies, and showing them all the reasons that there are to participate, either for a life-saving treatment that's otherwise not available, could be just to give back to science or medicine, could be to earn money for, like, a focus group.
Is there ever a cash flow problem insofar as you've got a research study approved and you're perhaps working with a government or whatever the case may be and you're waiting for payment? How does that whole cycle work, and is that problematic at times?
Right, so for that, what we do is we essentially charge researchers per participant. So mm-hmm. If we recruit one person, five people, you're going to be paying the right amount. If we recruit, you know, 3,000 and sort of fill up a whole phase 3 clinical trial, then you're going to be paying, you know, the right amount for that. And it's on a bit of a sliding scale depending on the type of person you're recruiting. So a healthy subject's going to be a lot more affordable than someone with, you know, leukemia or of a specific type. So essentially, we do monthly billing at sure how many, however many people of that type that we recruited for the study, we then bill at the end of the month.
Okay, so that eliminates anything as far as that's concerned.
Right. Yeah. So we do all the billing essentially after we've delivered the value. So.
That's exciting, Evan. If somebody wants to reach you,
yeah,
and learn more about what you're doing and want to help you and maybe become a participant in what you're doing, sure, how would they do that? What is the best email number or website that they could go at?
Best place is to go to our website at www.xperia.com. That's www.xperii.com. And go ahead, they can create an account there, be a beta user, or be there when we're full at launch. That has some other info for contact information for reaching our team.
When do you think you're going to be full at launch, if you don't mind me asking?
I'll be this fall. So we're doing beta testing right now, probably soft launch in about a month or two, sort of go through everything, and then sort of mid to late this fall should be the full launch for everyone. And we're launching initially in Boston and Providence, and then we'll be expanding city by city across the U.S. and internationally from there.
Very exciting. Thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Good luck in your journey.
Thank you.
I hope nothing but the best. Again, this is Radio Entrepreneurs. Sitting beside me is Gary Goldman of Truly Yogurt.
This is a Sweets reporter, Gary here. So glad to be with you, Alex, and so great to talk to Evan today.
It's always fun. And we'll be right back after these messages on Radio Entrepreneurs.